All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball. Bill Lasky in for Marty Lurie, and our next guest is a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and you can also read his tweets at Bruce_Jenkins1. Let's bring in Bruce Jenkins. Good afternoon, Bruce. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Doing well. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Nice and hot out there for you. I bet you were in the ocean today.
Well, I've been working on a project here. I've been beckoning. I must just say that. It's not 102 like it is some places, but it's awfully nice out here.
Boy, I tell you what, it is burning up today and tomorrow and Monday, but it's Labor Day. Yeah. Where else is everybody going to go? Go in your backyard and relax. That's the key.
Absolutely.
So I got to ask you, did you work on Vin Scully here? Because Vin Scully now is on Twitter, at the Vin Scully, and he had over 132,000 people follow him in within like 72 hours.
Jeez, I'll tell you, I certainly didn't expect that, but I love, he's 92, and he wants to be current. He wants to know what people are saying and what the fans are saying. I'm sure people warned him about Twitter. It's not always a barrel of laughs up there.
No, I tell you what, though, I followed him, and I'm reading some of his tweets, and I mean, he's out there with his picture on. He's got his suit on. He's out there. I you're absolutely right. I think he wants to get back in a booth is where he wants to go, but that's not going to happen.
No, and the public can be awfully cruel, especially if you're controversial. But I don't think he's throwing out, political statements or anything terribly outrageous. He's just trying to stay engaged. And, hopefully he doesn't get people coming out of the woodwork with ridiculous comments, which we all have received being on Twitter.
Well, Bruce, it's passed already, the trade deadline, and there's been so many articles and different things that have been out there. Were you surprised that the Giants kind of held intact?
I really wasn't. It's just such a different time. There's very little time left in the season. Teams aren't looking to get free agents who are due to free agency next year for just maybe a few games like Gausman. I think they wanted to hold on to Cueto, which I heartily approved of that because, a lot of their pitchers are going to be free agents, Smiley and Samardzija and Cahill and Gausman. And, you got to have a veteran anchoring that staff. I know they're not looking to, win the World Series next year, but it's part of their progression. They want to stay good. They've been good this year. And I really think they need one of the game's best pitchers to be in there. So in terms of that, I wasn't surprised. And beyond that, it just doesn't make sense to give away, your prospects. They weren't going to do that. I think they were hoping to find a couple of under-the-radar prospects from other teams, which Farhan's been pretty good at. But, if you're talking about lower-level guys, where are you seeing them? There's no minor leagues. It's all rumor from the alternative site. So I really wasn't surprised at all, and I wouldn't be disappointed if I was a Giants fan.
You're right on about being the starting rotation. If you look at the starting rotation for 2021, the only two guys that are really implemented is Webb and Cueto because you lose Shark, $18 million. You lose Gausman, $9 million. Smiley, $4 million. Then you lose some of your bullpen. Watson at $3 million and Cahill at $2 million. Of course, Pablo and Pence come off the book. That's $41 million off your books, and you got to go back and try to sign Gausman and Smiley and most likely Watson. What do you do in a scenario like this? There's going to be some money thrown, especially for Gausman, because there was a lot of people interested in him.
Yeah, rightly so. I think they should make a big push for Gausman. Maybe not so much for Samardzija, who's, he gives up a lot of home runs, and he's a great guy, a great competitor. I love his spirit, the way he goes about it, going back to his football days at Notre Dame. Yeah. But, in terms of really realistically, I don't know if they see him as being any kind of an anchor of the staff. But if you do come back with Gausman and Cueto, and, Logan Webb definitely has the kind of stuff that opens some eyes, then, pick up another somebody else in the offseason, and then one of your kids comes up, they might be okay.
Yeah, and when you start looking around, there really isn't that much stuff going to go on the free agent market. Stroman, Robbie Ray, James Paxton, who's been hurt, Coral Kluber, who's been hurt. So I think that's one thing Farhan's going to have to try to do is maybe get some early negotiations going with Gausman. And I tell you what, Smiley, you can't really throw him aside, even though the finger injury, he's pitched very well for him.
That's true. That's true. We haven't seen much of him lately, so he kind of falls off your radar. But yeah, absolutely. And you know, I heard Gausman say that you know he could definitely see re-signing here. I mean, it's not like you're going out on the free agent market like you know Catfish Hunter or somebody in the in the glory days and been breaking three banks. You know, if teams are really going to be pulling back on their payrolls, who knows if next season's going to have fans in it at the start? And everybody's really tightening the screws. So if you're in a good place, and it sounds like Gausman feels that he is, I'm not sure how Smiley feels, but you know, he's kind of found a home here too, so it's not such a bad idea to you know, re-sign maybe short term and then see how the market looks later on.
We're talking to Bruce Jenkins through the glass at Original Joe's. He's having a nice lunch right now, and one of the big topics today, Madison Bumgarner. You covered him over his 10 years or more here with the Giants. You saw him as a rookie as I did. We saw him build his power numbers, three-time World Series, MVP. Bad outings so far by Madison with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Today's going to be a whole nother look. It's going to be, I'm anxious to see what he throws up there, and I'm anxious to see if that lower back opens up and there's a little more velocity. What are you looking for today?
Well, it's very hard to say. You know, we don't know how his rehab has gone, how bad the back was. I mean, he was pitching. You know, he didn't look like a guy who was super struggling with his health, but it turns out that he was. And I'll tell you one thing, it's an awfully big game for him because if he comes back and gives up some bombs and just gives up some hard hit balls, that was the thing that was so noticeable about his early starts. I was watching him on, you know, on TV, and he was getting hit pretty hard, you know, by guys that I think he probably should have been putting away, you know, and just didn't look like Bumgarner. And it would be a real drag because we all feel so strongly about him and what he meant for the franchise. If he came out today and it was kind of the same thing, you know, it hasn't been the greatest move for him. He admitted feeling a little nostalgic about, you know, seeing the Giants again and thinking about all the good times in this ballpark. And Arizona's having a lousy year. They traded away so many good players, and it's not a great mood over there. So it just hasn't really gone well. And I'd love to see him come out. You know, we never want to see the Giants get shut out or anything, but I wouldn't mind at all if he kicked a little butt today.
You know, we've seen so many players, you know, sign major contracts, and of course, Madison with his motorcycle accident. Were you kind of surprised when you heard about Mason Saunders and the team roping and all the different cowboy things he was doing? And I tell you what, I thought it was hilarious. And the first thing I thought is, that's totally Madison Bumgarner. Mason Saunders just blew me away.
Oh, God, zero surprise, Bill. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is what he does. I mean, this is how he lives. He refuses to, you know, not live his life, and it has cost him a little bit. But I don't think he has a single regret about anything. Maybe he wants to keep that bike on the dirt road a little better, you know, but it's just the essence of Bumgarner is to do these things. It's not like, hey, I'm some kind of daredevil. I'm a real badass, you know what I mean? Yeah. He just does those things. That's the part of the country that he's from. His buddies live that kind of life, and you know, it's been great to have somebody like that, you know, out here on the West Coast, bringing that with him. And he never lost any of that country in him, and you know, everybody just dug it. It was a really special time that we had him here.
It was, and I think fans are going to be, you know, kind of going both sides. You want them to throw well, but yet you need the Giants to win. There's only 21 games left, and they're falling fast here, and 18 and 21, and they got to jump to at least 500 to kind of get in the race to be in a wild card. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. All right. It's just a shame Bumgarner can't hit, maybe hit a three-run jack to help his cause. But, yeah, I mean, the Giants are, you know, where you can see them being in the playoffs, but, I mean, it's not like you see the Dodgers and the Padres in the playoffs. It's going to be a scramble. There's a lot of teams involved. And to me, anything below 500, you shouldn't even be in them. And who knows, right. Maybe that'll be the case. But, yeah, they've got to keep the head above that 500 water.
Well, Major League Baseball lost a true professional this past week, and that was Tom Seaver. Just looking at some of the things. You wrote a great article on him. And, you know, I was just – I've listened to so many different interviews and just some things that were just magical about him. And, you know, a 12-time All-Star, World Series champion in 69. He was the franchise with the New York Mets, Rookie of the Year in 1967 right out of USC. And it goes on and on. He pitched a no-hitter with the Chicago White Sox. I thought that was pretty cool. A member of the National League Baseball Hall of Fame, 1992. I just don't know the five reporters that didn't vote for him to make it 100.
New York Mets Hall of Fame.
I mean, it goes on. And I know you followed him. You covered him. And I really want to hear your thoughts about Tom Seaver.
Yeah, well, I got to watch him a lot during his prime, and I was in college in 69 when the Mets took the country by storm. You know, they'd been a terrible, terrible team for years, all the years of their existence, and all of a sudden they're making this fantastic run for the 1969 pennant, and Seaver's, of course, right in the middle of it, and they get in the World Series and win it. And I remember during the World Series, they kept showing Seaver's wife in the stands. They're just, you know, the look of anxiety on a very attractive blonde woman who was Seaver's wife, and you're sort of feeling that family anxiety. But, you know, aside from the classic things about his pitching, you know, the drop and drive, the unbelievable leg drive on that guy. You talk about the pitcher using your legs, just study that guy. And he had big, powerful legs that carried him through 20 years of pitching. You know, he was just a guy from that era. You were sort of defined by finishing games that you started. He did that 231 times, Bill. What's the league leader now? None?
Yeah, exactly.
He leads the league with none. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was a really genuine guy, too. I did get to chat with him occasionally as a reporter. And he struck you as the same guy to everyone in every situation. And it's funny because I talked to Kruko about him a little bit. And, you know, Mike went into the wine business after he retired in San Luis Obispo. And Seaver did the same thing up in Calistoga. And then
right.
Seaver goes, you know, Kruko goes, Seaver was, he was from Fresno. He's just a guy, you know, he's a farmer who played baseball, and he loves to grow grapes. He's the happiest guy in the world just growing grapes on a farm in Calistoga. Yeah. You know, that just says a lot about Seaver. You know, it was such a shame that he came, you know, he developed dementia and you know how that goes. You're looking at it. You're certainly hearing a different person.
Yeah,
he went down.
It
was very, 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 very sad. But you know, the power of his career and the charisma, the dedication to the game and everything he meant to it, certainly to me, you know, overrides all of that stuff at the end.
Well, one of the funny things, he was interviewing with Bob Costas, and Bob was talking about all these stats, and he goes, you know, I could come back, and for 5 years, I could lose 20 games each year and still be over 500. And I just started cracking up because you're thinking, oh, my God, this guy, he's, you know. But it's true. He's 311, 205, you know. So, and then the other thing, 61 shutouts. 61.
Oh, well.
That just blows me away. And you know, you talk about the perfect throwing machine. That was the guy my high school coach, every coach said, we got to watch Tom Seaver. He's got the perfect hands over the head, eyes on the target.
Oh my God.
You know,
beautiful.
And it was just any which way you saw it, from first base, third base, home plate, the motion was just perfect.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that anymore with the hands over the head anymore. You very seldom, and that's kind of bounced back. And like you talk about, the drive, of course, the Mets the other day, everybody put dirt on their right knee, which I thought that was pretty cool. They put
that
the jersey in the dugout. And of course, a walk-off home run by, you know, it was just a classic way to end the game for Lazo. And, you know, those are just things that you and I go back in time with, and we see all this happening. And sure enough, our superstar guys, Tom Seaver, you think he would live forever. He passes away at 75 years old. And those are the guys we grew up with, Bruce, and you covered them. And, you know, just some classic stories, some classic one-liners, but I think you hit it in a nutshell with your article. Some really good stuff.
No, I appreciate that, Bill, very much. Ron Darling tells a story about one time he was I think he and Seaver had played golf or something. They went back to Seaver's place. They're going to have dinner or whatever. And Tom goes, I'll be right out. I'm just going to grab a quick shower. So Darling is in Seaver's study, and he's looking at all the great stuff on the wall goes over to his desk. And one of the desk drawers was sort of ajar. So Ron kind of quietly just peeks in there real fast. There's a bunch of baseballs in there. He said, what the heck? So Seaver finally comes down. He goes, Tom, what's this? What are all these balls? He goes, oh, those are all my shutouts. There's 61
wow.
balls in a drawer.
Yeah, I tell you, there's some great stories. And, you know, it's just sad because the person has to pass away before some of the fun stuff comes out with some of the articles. And I was flipping through Twitter the other night, and sure enough, Ed Sullivan had the 69 New York Mets team, and they're all singing, You Gotta Have Heart.
Oh,
and here's
God.
Tom just bellowing it out, and here's Nolan right next to him, and he's getting to Nolan's face. Come on, you gotta sing, you know. But it was
Ryan
classic.
And Tom
you saw
Seaver on the same staff. They're both
yeah,
kids.
And I mean, that's what I'm saying. Kuzman. Yeah, and Kuzman was on there, and Kuzman was really secondhand, and he threw great games for the Mets.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Just you know, Gary Gentry and Matlack come along, and that was great. And they played the A's in the World Series, a very good World Series. Of course, the A's were unbeatable then. But you know, when somebody like this passes, it's a real heart tugger for us who remember him. But it's also a time, you know, just like we're chatting right here. It's very heartwarming to hear your stories and Ron Darling's and everyone else. I tried to read as much as I could. And for younger fans, who was this guy really?
Yeah.
If you're a younger fan
doing.
And you're willing to look it up, you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, anybody that gets a nickname the franchise is pretty damn good. Especially, you know.
He's fairly important, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The New York Mets were nothing. And you wrote the story a little bit about him at USC and somebody, I don't know what team, drafted him, and it was illegal. And then they put.
Yeah, the Braves, I think, yeah.
Yeah, the names in a hat, and the Mets come up, and they draft him. And sure enough, he's Rookie of the Year, and it took off from there. And those stories are so true in so many different ways. And that's what I love about him. I got to face him. I faced him with the Mets. I faced him with the Reds. And, you know, I'm a young kid, and I know who Tom Seaver is, and you're seeing your probable pitchers, and I'm going, are you kidding me? I'm going up against Tom Seaver? You know, and those are the things that I remember at 22 and 23 years old and
very
watching
special.
Him when he was with the Mets. He was sensational.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine Bill being an opposing pitcher with Tom Seaver. That's taking it to a different level. But, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, I'd love to look up, you know, Lefty Grove and Jimmy Fox and Babe Ruth and all the guys who, you know, well before I was born. And I hope that's still the case, you know, among baseball fans in this country. They say that the young fans are not nearly as interested, but I hope there's an element out there that does pay attention and comes to appreciate what did come before, because it's some great stuff.
Yeah, and, we talk about Tom so much and the positives, and, of course, the dementia really backed him back. He couldn't even go to the 50th anniversary when they won the World Series, and a couple guys came out here to Napa. And,
and
those were just so many close stories that you read about some of his fans and some of his close friends that were fans. But, you know, it's just a tragedy. We lose a very good pitcher and a Hall of Famer. And those are the stories, Bruce, we talk about all the time, all these great players are going to pass sooner or later, and here's one of my all-time favorites, Tom Seaver.
No question about it. A great man, and he's being well remembered, and I'm sure in New York, you know, that's going to carry on for many days.
Yeah. So I want to get back to the Giants here today. Their offense is just killing the ball. 12th in Major League Baseball with home runs, 3rd in most hits. And this offense has just been gelling. It's the pitching sometimes, but the bullpen's been pretty good. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this offense.
Well, I think the case is kind of closed on whether they are actually a good hitting team or not. I think it's quite clear that they are. And it's interesting to me to hear about some of the new coaches that Kapler brought in. You know, the players are starting to talk about these people and how they've really helped them. You know, a lot of it's is the kind of instruction they haven't received before. There's some new age thinking in there that's working, and it's top to bottom. It's not just the kids coming up, but Crawford and Belt and Longoria, they didn't need a whole lot of help, but maybe just a little thing, that a little slight adjustment in the swing, because there's a big difference between this year and last there. And then you got, guys like Flores and Solana, who are just, to me, those guys are just good hitters. They just, period, are good hitters. I've always liked Dickerson. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, and then he took off, in a huge way.
Sure did.
But that to me wasn't a total shock, because I just think he's going to just hit a solid line drive every time up there, because he's just so solid.
One of the things, Bruce, is when you mentioned Crawford, I heard an interview with him, and he was talking about the hitting coaches, and you and I both know back in the day you'd have one hitting group when the team would come in, and you'd go over certain pitchers, and he said this group of hitting coaches are constantly showing them video, constantly showing them how they hit off them, constantly showing them where their swing path is.
Yeah.
And he says it's just like not one, there's three of them, and they're constantly going, you want to see this, you want to see this, you want to do this. And he said the more information that he started gathering, he was just like, why are these guys bugging me? Why are they continuing? But then he started understanding what they were showing him and showing what he did, the flaws, and what he did to improve it. He went to kind of his old stance. But I tell you what, he's turned it around. Longoria's hitting 300. He's hitting the ball well. And I love seeing Brandon Belt get hot. You and I have talked about Brandon for many years.
Yeah.
And he's hitting 500 since August 16th. And it's just remarkable what he's doing. And I'm happy for him, because I've always said if Brandon Belt just could stay fired, stay consistent, he'd be one of the best hitters the Giants have ever had.
Absolutely, and a heck of a first baseman,
totally.
Which is a very underrated position on the field. You picture kind of a big lunk over there. They stuck him there, and there are a lot of first basemen like that, but this is a guy who will make the great plays. His throws are unerring, which is so crucial. That throw to second on the 3-6 double play, that looks like an easy throw, but it really isn't. You've got a runner in your way, and you want to tail it a little bit maybe, or maybe you don't want to tail it, and his throws are so good that way. I always think back to Steve Garvey. This is a Hall of Fame player,
And we used to say, bunt the ball to him because he'll never throw to second.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right. I mean, and that's what everybody would say, just bunt the ball to him. He'll take it and throw it to first because he didn't want to make an error throwing to second. Where Brandon's just the opposite,
these are
Bruce.
These are things that Belt will bring. And what I like about all those guys is that they've all had just – well, Longoria was one of the great players in the American League, just flat out.
Mm-hmm.
He was the franchise there. And it's such a beautiful, relaxed approach at the plate. I loved watching him hit. He was deadly. He was really, really good. He's starting to remind you a little bit. And think back to all the big hits that Belt and Crawford have had for the team, and they're kind of bringing you back to those days. So there really is a lot of good stuff going on. I just feel really good about the fact that they might give you 5-6 runs in a game, and it's more about can the pitching hold up?
Yeah. And we haven't said that 5 or 6 runs in a game for many years. And that's the positive that we're seeing out of this club and consistent runs. Just like in the 23 run game, they didn't score in a ninth inning. They scored in every other inning. So, that's what I love seeing. And as a pitcher, I would like, I'll raise my hand if I can get back on the mound pitching for this squad.
Yeah, Matt Cain would like some of those runs.
Yeah, it's another one. Matt Cain, Volge, a lot of them. It's just good. And I really believe this series right now, they have to win these next three games. I'm sorry to say it, their back's against the wall at 18-21 to try to get in this wild card. They can't lose to Arizona and Seattle and think they're going to make it up with San Diego.
Absolutely not. The season could die right here. It could also propel them to something that everyone would have to consider pretty special, everything that's going on. So, they need to kind of beat up on these teams, and they've got the hitting to do it. It starts with Bumgarner. It doesn't get any more interesting than that, does it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Bruce, your waiter is flashing me. Your pasta is ready at Original Joe, so go enjoy a nice dinner tonight, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, I'm about to have my first of 12 vodkas.
There you go.
Joking.
Have a nice day, Bruce. Good talking
Thank
to you,
Bill.
Friend.
Thanks a lot,
that
man.
Was Bruce Jenkins. Just some good stuff. And of course, Tom Seaver. I mean, just one of my favorite pitchers I've ever seen and watched and competed against. That was good. All right, we're going to take a quick break here and bring in Mr. Mark Sanchez from KNBR.com next on Talking Baseball, KNBR, the sports leader.